they will walk in and restart. Otherwise, they will assume that they must leave everything. They must know that when the meeting starts at 11, they start at 11. Today, we are doing a second quarter performance report of the department. I do know that because of the work that is going on in the country and the political work, a decision was taken that the Tuesday meeting of the portfolio committee must start at 11 to allow those members that are doing constituency work on Monday to be able to start the normal so that political work doesn't happen. So we don't have much time because then the city is true. So that means whether we start at 11, whether we start at 9, whether we start at 10, but in 1 we must finish. Because at 2 o'clock members must go to the house. That's why I thought we should start. I know that I have got 2 apologies. One of those taller, who is attending transport, and Honorable Sonyani, who I'm not sure where she is. But otherwise, the rest will be coming, like Honorable Horai, who is just working, who has been here since 8 o'clock. I don't know why she's here. But I'm handing over to the department to present to us the second report. Over to you, DJ, and you can let us know the team that is here. I know that the office of the minister is here, and the office of the deputy minister is also here. You have been acknowledged, gentlemen. The only thing that you are sending them. Next time, please send ladies to come in to present us. As you are. Thank you. Yes, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the team is here. Department. Led by myself, there's going to be a division of work or a division of labor. And the presentation is long, but we will cover it within the given time. DDG Mungo will start the presentation on the governance matters, the governance and administration. And she will hand over to DDG Cheney, who will deal with program performance matters, program monitoring. And DDG Cheney will hand over to the CFO to take us through the grant performance. And I will come back right at the end to wrap it up. I don't know if this has been brought to your attention, Chair. The minister is on sick leave. Usually she attends the quarterly reviews. She attended the last one. She came back from an international trip, not feeling well. But that apology has been tendered. Without wasting time, Chair, I just want to make some few comments. It will be 3 or 4 comments. I won't take more than 5 minutes of your time. And I want to start with the bad news so that we can end up with the good news. One of the things that we've been struggling to perfect is meeting our employment equity target. And the picture is not looking very good right now. And I want to put it to the portfolio committee that if we have filled some of the SMS positions that we wanted to fill, we would be sitting close to 50% of, we would be close to meeting our employment equity target. Because almost all the positions that we have advertised and recommended are positions where we were recommending women, because the teacher right now is sitting at 47, 43, sorry, 43, 57. 57 for men and 43 for women. And the idea is to change that picture and make sure that we at least we are 57 for women and 43 for men. But we have to go that way. But we're working hard. Every new SMS position that is being advertised, it is going to be advertised as an EE target, an employment equity target. We have to meet that target so that it doesn't come across as if we're giving excuses all the time. We've also taken some decisions, Chair. You'll recall that we had significant compensation of employees budget cut over the last 3 years. When we received the first cut, we took a decision to convert all the vacant positions into contract positions. That process didn't work well for us. That exercise didn't pay dividend because it makes it extremely difficult for the officials who are in the department to apply for the contract position. There will be no incentive for them to move from a permanent position in the department to a contract position in the department, unless you are a DG, because the DG used to be permanent, and then he applied for a contract position. It looks like the majority of officials in the department are very risk averse. They want job security. They don't want contract. Except the fearful. I think the fearful is also on contract. DDG Cheney is also on contract. And DDG Shabani is also on contract. Those four are on contract as well. The rest are permanent. So, Chair, I wanted to give that background because you would have noticed that our vacancy rate has gone up because it became very difficult to fill those positions, and which meant then that we need to go back and look at our compensation of employees budget, which we did. We looked at the COE budget last week, and we took a decision yesterday. I know that we're looking at the period under review, which ends on the 30th of September. But we have taken a decision, Chair, and I thought it's important to bring it to the attention of this committee, that all the new positions will now be filled as permanent positions. And we think that the budget has improved. We knew that it will change, but 3 years ago, we were in a very difficult position. And if there's one thing that DG is get fired for, is committing on the budget that they don't have. So we took that decision not to commit on the budget that we don't have. Without wasting time, Chair, I'm now going to hand over to DDG Nguma to start to take us through the governance and administration components, and then we'll move to the program delivery support, and DDG Chair will lead us on that one.
Five. faith that in terms of government, we always strive to comply fully with 100%, but in certain areas, we do fall short and not really have in compliance. The first part of the compliance that we have still adhered to during the second quarter was in terms of the six-time saving and system. As a department, we managed to achieve 70% in terms of compliance. With your permission, Chairperson, I won't read all of them, but I will just mention a few. For example, in terms of the first draft of the strategic and annual development plan for 2019-2020, we have to comply in terms of the time frame to submit our first quarter and second quarter, second draft of the ACP for the next financial year. In this regard, we managed to meet the deadline in terms of the submission to the high body to the material and the KMD. And I will also move to the one in terms of the departmental compliance in terms of the financial statements to the national treasury to be complied during the second quarter under review. Also of particular importance is our compliance in terms of our performance that also leads to the submission to the KMD and also to the national treasury. During the second quarter. Last feature testing, we highlight the last bullet, which is also a compliance issue in terms of the payment of invoices within 30-day period. We fell short slightly. Our shipment was 98%. Though it's not 100%, but we're moving towards that. The second part of the compliance is in terms of our human resources plan. We achieved 76%. DG has highlighted some of the challenges or the shortcomings that we are addressing in terms of the implementation of the human resources plan. In terms of our achievement, we did achieve to conduct the analysis of the exit interview, also the annual leave audit. I must also indicate here that we have also electronized the annual leave submission. We also have managed to convene the public service. Service women management, this is a requirement in terms of the DPSA. And where we fell short, which is the second part, is in terms of the finalization of the recruitment process, which the DG has spoken to. And also in terms of the first bullet, in terms of the fourth bullet, in terms of the procurement of service providers, the competency assessment and the skills for this. Those two, one of them will be completed within this financial year. And if I can move to the next slide, still in terms of the governance and administration, this is in terms of the legislation for legislative and policy changes. Human settlement development bank bill, the business case is in process of being finalized, and this will be finalized during the third quarter. They need to go through the provide processes, so we are on track with them. And also in terms of the human settlement bill, which is quite critical for us, the department has commenced the deployment of the capacity staff the bill. If I can also highlight the property petition bill, which the committee is very much aware of, that we have taken all the necessary processes and moving forward with the bill. The next slide this is in terms of intergovernmental and international relations. This part also is very critical for the success of the implementation of human settlement programs, because we rely also heavily in terms of the intergovernmental and international relations. this, the following four agreements for coordinated in terms of our human settlement services in the second quarter include the Joint Coordination Committee on Land. We know that this is the critical area for human settlement in order for it to succeed. We have also, in terms of expanding public health program, the community health program, the National Department of Human Settlement Forum. This is the forum that we use to advance the human settlement delivery program. If I can also highlight the one in terms of the Department of Science and Technology and Technology Partnership, as we are in the 20th century, technology becomes critical, and also in terms of human settlement development, we need also to acquaint ourselves in terms of the new technologies and going forward. The disaster management forums, we participate fully on that, as we are also heavily affected when disaster strikes in our provinces. We need to be ready in terms of the policies. If I can move forward to the following, to the next slide. The following actions and initiatives on international cooperation service and allied human settlement priorities. We are involved in the high-level UN engagement on agenda 2030, the new UN agenda. The 2018 high-level political forum on sustainable development was convened under the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations. We also have engaged in the knowledge exchange through attending or arranging conferences, workshops, or study visits, study tours to Singapore by the Control Committee, which also assists us in the steps that we move forward. This summit, we have been very much involved in partnership in COPSA, in the friendship cities, local government cooperation, and organization forums. Chairperson, in terms of the policy and planning action, the draft multi-year land assembly plan for human settlement development was compiled in the second quarter. The acquired land was 990 hectares, and land released was 52 hectares. Work has commenced on the development of a framework for policy and regulatory and institutionalization of human settlement overseas. The draft benchmark report on management of homelessness was also compliant. This also affects us quite significantly, because if people are not provided with the adequate shelter in terms of the constitution, then we get affected and we need to be ready for it.
We'll now ask DGC Cheney to take us through the program of monitoring and device support. This is largely from the kitchen.
Thank you for giving us just one of the details. I don't know if this may be. Well, but open that door. Because since you are late, you can open the door for us.
Okay,
let's go. Let's see if we can have more electricity and oxygen. And you see, I think we've got more carbon dioxide than I thought. I'm people sleeping for him, so I got one. I know that's the effect of carbon dioxide. Now that the door is open, this fence must come up this side. That fence must come this side. No, this one is not ready. Okay.
Thank you, Chair Members. Chair, in relation to program and monitoring and delivery support, Chair, we prepared the presentation based on the queries raised at the previous quarter. With specific reference to informal settlement. Chair, on what the action that we have taken during the quarter, and this is a follow-up on the previous quarter in relation to informal settlements is the assessment and categorization. So what we do in the slide is just indicate to members what the different categorization results in as a result of the assessment. So we have full conventional upgrade. There's four categories, so a settlement can be there can be a full conventional upgrade, there can be an incremental upgrade with essential services, there can be a deferred relocation with emergency services, and then there are settlements that are categorized as immediate relocation where there are urgent health or safety threats which cannot be mitigated. Okay. In relation to what has been done for the quarter, 91 informal settlements were assessed and feasibility studies conducted, and these include in the city of Swale regions, and then a further 29 which was targeted could not be conducted, mainly due to organizing and arranging of households and socioeconomic surveys and service delivery process within the informal settlement. So those 29 that were supposed to have been done, Chair, that the team has brought that forward into the third quarter. There's also another 60 informal settlement upgrading plans that were developed within Buffalo City, Nelson Mandela Bay, as well as Johannesburg, a region in the city of Joburg. And then a further 65 upgrading plans have not been completed since the socioeconomic surveys which needed to inform the plan were still underway. Chair, your members will note that one of the constraints that we have, one of the underlying issues is that when we do these assessments, when we do the categorization, when we do the socioeconomic analysis, the community, the affected households and communities are in fact form part of those processes. Chair, that just gives an indication of the settlements, the 91 settlements assessed in the city of Tswane, in the various regions. So we've gone from region 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then we also give the informal settlements upgrading plans developed in Buffalo City, now from Mandela Bay, and then the city of Joburg, region F. Chair, we also need to indicate that the balance of the provinces, together with some of the metros, including Ekurhuleni as well as Jekwini, were also supported in the implementation of the informal settlement upgrading program, and this is reflected in some of the targets that do come through either through the USDG or HSDG funding. Chair, the department is also, and this is on slide 15, the department is also in the process of assisting provinces in the delivery of we had set the target of 250 units for the quarter in relation to military veterans. Chair, we are not doing well in this. Chair, the issue is that the provinces, together in certain instances the municipalities, have the houses constructed, but there are no approved military veterans sign-off. So, for example, if you take, I think it's Lufering or Fleur, where the houses were built and they've been illegally occupied as a result of delays that we're experiencing. Chair, we can indicate just, I'm sure DG will raise this, is that there has been high-level discussions taking place between at a DDG level as well as Director General levels to indicate to DMV the delays and the administrative concerns that we have particularly. So the problem is that as a department, we cannot allocate without a sign-off that a particular beneficiary is on the approved list for military veterans. Chair, we also continue to support the provinces and where the PHP is implemented and the four metros that we do that as well. And then in relation to subsidy programs, the implementation, we provide funding support either through assessment of additional funding requests or on the implementation or the policy implementation variances that are required. Chair, the CEO raised the issue around the question of the bill, but what we can confirm now is that the three entities, the three financial entities of the department are now consolidated within the NHFC, and that took place, I stand corrected, was it the 1st of November that came into force, and as indicated, the final business case together with the bill is in process. Chair, we do give an indication that provinces were also supported in the title deed restoration program, and then in relation to bullet point 3, and this is in slide 17, the monitoring framework, 99.8% of projects were monitored as verified, and that's a total of 1,578 projects out of 1,581. Chair, we are also in the department conducting evaluations, and the last one that we have to complete for this term of office is the evaluation of the UISP, and that was delayed due to compliance, due to non-compliance of procurement processes, not by the department, but when we received the bid, there were certain issues that needed to be attended, which we didn't allow for an award to take place. Chair, we also continue as the department to provide support to the revitalization of the district mining towns in terms of the presidential package. And what we can indicate is that there's been a finalization of the implementation protocols for all the provinces and metro. I think there's just two outstanding. We conducted an assessment of the 2019-21st draft provincial business plan. And that's to ensure that the work continues post the 1st of April 2019. And then we're also providing program planning and implementation support to all local municipalities with the distressed mining towns in line with the HSDG ring fence funding, as well as the confirmed human settlements priorities. Chair, we give an indication on slide 19, which are the prioritized municipalities in the provinces where we are undertaking this. And then also, Chair, what we do is that through the department, we monitor the management of the catalytic projects program by the HDA, and that's done through the Joint Branch Management Coordination, the Catalytic Projects Coordination, and the Program Steering. Chair, just to indicate that these, in the first instance, it's chaired by the CEO. The second instance, it's chaired by the DDG for Program and Project Management. And then the third one is the chaired by the DG, which is with the HDA and the other implementing partners. Chair, then we also just give an indication of what the capacity development program has underway, and in terms of our train the trainer program, there's 195 practitioners. Chair, just to indicate the individuals that completed the course for 17-18 graduated last week Thursday. Chair, then the current youth, there's 43 youth that received subsidy support from the scholarship program, and this is payment of tuition, accommodation, books, and stipends. Just to indicate the 43 students that we referred to, there's 28 doing engineering, 8 in building science, 5 in surveying, 1 in construction studies, and 1 doing architectural technology. First performance, Chair, you will note that that's the current beneficiary approvals per province for the quarter. And it does not fit within what we have targeted. And you'll note that in the medium-term budget policy statement issued by the Minister of Finance, there has been a revision, as we've indicated, to improve the performance. So the constraints, we just indicate what the constraints were in the quarter, and we're all aware of what that is, but we just talked for noting for the portfolio. 64% of the target that was set was achieved, 24 were partially achieved, and 12% were not achieved. Chair, we then give an indication of the implementation progress as at 30 September 2018. Chair, just to indicate that in the targets, and this is in relation to the MTSF targets, specifically in relation to the additional households living in terms of subsidized provision as well as informal settlements. Chair, we are hopeful that if we meet our target in terms of the business plan on specifically this slide, the first two ambers will be converted into green. Chair, we've raised the issues that we are battling with in some of the reds that are indicated on this slide, in particular the issue of the title deed as well as the affordable rental. Chair, that's the status of the upgrading of informal settlements. Chair, there's a substantial amount of effort that has been undertaken by the DDG PPMU together with the NUS team to convert some of the red into amber and then the amber into green. The issue around this, Chair, is that what we have indicated to both provinces and municipalities is that there's a measure of underreporting. And as a result of this underreporting, we're not getting the correct figures. Chair, just to indicate, all of the metros indicate that they provide 95% access to water in informal settlements. If that's the case, then you wouldn't find some of the so housing should actually be green, KZN, as well as the other Eastern Cape should also, as we indicate there. So we corrected some of them. So Eastern Cape, KZN, Western Cape, we've converted. The one that we're having problems with in terms of under-reporting appears to be Gauteng in relation to the informal settlements. Chair, that's the subsidy market, and that's just giving an indication of what the current delivery rates are. Chair, you'll note if you measure this against the previous quarter and years, there has been some changes or movement from amber to green and from red to amber. Chair, the social housing. Chair, we do indicate that in relation to the social housing, as per the annual report performance of the SHSHRA, the commitment that has been given to us is that come the end of March, 31st of March 2019, we will have 27,000 units constructed or either under construction. That's the commitment and the performance agreement that's been signed. The title deed restoration program, Chair, still remains a cause for concern, and as indicated, these measures are. We will have a full ability to be able to measure the impact of the interventions we've made as a national department. Thank you.
Chair, we now hand over to the CFO to take us through the financial performance.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. Chair, we still reporting on our core program with the approved budget of 32.4 billion. I think here we will start on this one because simply we are saying we have not met the target of the 50% of the department by the end of September due to a number of reasons, and I can cite some of the reasons, and mainly what DJ has indicated earlier on in terms of the personal cost that we have challenges in appointing the number of chief directors as recommended, as well as the director of the personnel in the process, and that led to us to the underperformance of our industry to pay, and which has an
conservative, but I must also indicate that in some instances we had an underperformance with controls and screens, which I would say at this point in time it is receiving attention, which is enough, which is one of the challenges that we always experience in terms of the underperformance and underscreening. But I must indicate here upfrontly that while we are experiencing some challenges in the current invoices and the signing off of the development plan, of the operational plan that have to sign off by municipalities, some of the invoices are in the pipeline. So program 3 is receiving and giving those invoices some attention. And part of the money, most of the money has been committed and we have signed off some of the PRCs to the project. So we should be moving with speed on the issue of the upgrading of the support to the municipalities that are receiving support from this grant for the subsidy itself. And for program 4, we are reporting also 88% in terms of all those transfers that we make to our provinces. But we will see as we move along to the provinces the supplement of the fairness of what we are giving to them and what we spend to them. So typically care, that 12% is underperformed by the admin in general. Also includes the issues of the low transfers of the cash flow.
Sorry to interrupt you, you will say that my members are looking at me with questioning eyes, but I don't have like, I don't know what happened. But so as you do the presentation, I'm not saying so, but just understand that they don't have so try and move it slow. I don't know what happened there. To the people that were giving us the document, but they don't this night they don't have.
Okay, my apologies, Chair. And I apologize very much for the copy that I'm using in your head. Nonetheless, Chair, apology on that one. Maybe then I should move to the next slide. Hopefully this one members do have, if I may verify. Can I continue? Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, this is not different from the slide that I indicated earlier. However, this one is broken down in economic classification. And economic classification, in simple terms, is those items that the bigger part of the budget pays in towards the operational budget, including the capital budget. And here we are also indicating 38% broken down from the major four programs that I indicated earlier on that the department is reporting on from program 1 to program 4. If you look at your personal cost, which are close to at 50%, and we are quoting an underperformance of 5% due to those issues that are related earlier on. And similarly with your goods and services, that is largely affected by the fact that we are not purchasing any equipment related to the laptop and some of the transport costs that are related to the support that we provide to our network provinces and institutions. However, we are reporting the payment of the financial assets that we have given to our NHFC at 100%. And the role of the payment for capital assets, as well as the roles of the transfers and subsidies, include your transfers to your network and SHRA, your HBAUC, so as well as the provinces. That takes the budget of 11.8 billion. Of that, we cut it by 3% that goes to your operational budget of 790 million odd, whereby we projected to spend 340 and we could only spend 87% of the allocation, sitting at 297. The highest expenditure being on the human settlement strategy, wherein we had also an overpayment in terms of the overrun of our government that is happening this Friday, we undercosted. So that particular item had a budget of less than the 3% that it had cost.
I think that's
overrun.
Let me just check with the members. Because what seems to be the confusion is that the copies that you received here don't have this part, but the copies that have been sent to you have got actually the financials. Because I have the financials on the copy that was sent to you. But the copies that were distributed here doesn't have the financial part. So I just thought it's important. It's not necessary. It's the person who did the copy.
Through you, Chair, the last part of our presentation.
Yes. Yes. I'm just wanted members to understand.
Chair, the slide that I'm talking about would relate to operational budget of the department. As I indicated, this is where the COE is, which is teaching the goods and services, the NAP budget, as well as, or rather, outside your capital budget of the grant. And then I'll move over to the transfer. We spoke of the 5 grants at the first quarter, and the 5 grants that were added, or the 3 grants that were added to the 2 main grants is your emergency grant from the provinces from the local perspective, and the crisis integration program. We're not doing well in as far as our emergency grant content, although we have actually dispersed it to some of our municipalities and metros that have requested it, depending on the condition of the disaster that is happening around the areas of concern. But I must also indicate that we have challenges in as far as SHRA is concerned. SHRA is not meeting some of the relevant information that is needed in terms of the pipeline projecting. We have received the information, but it's not talking to what has been planned in their APP. So we could not purchase, or rather, not transfer that consolidated capital grant. And that capital consolidated grant is a grant that needs to be consolidated together with institutional subsidy of the provinces to form your social housing unit or social housing opportunity. And then amount still had to be transferred. We have, however, given the 25 million to CISO and 111 to HDA. So I must indicate that 6.1 million that is sitting as a variance is transferable to SHRA, to the NOHADA, the committee almost, simply because the chair members in the previous year, the amount that we've always been saying that CISO is owing to SHRA. The correspondence that we have from National Treasury suggests that we are not in a position to transfer that SHRA money to SHRA or CISO's money to SHRA, simply because SHRA is equally having enough money to can manage its budget and operational budget. So that money will be transferable to the community scheme over. And then the other one for HDA is also transferable anytime for the better part of the financial year. And then the rest has gone through your capitalization of the bank, which is NHFC, as we see it sitting in KT. So I think this is a slide there. We want to indicate that we do have challenges, and we did have challenges at the beginning of the financial year. We reported in our first quarter that we were largely looking at our 3 provinces that are giving us a heavy, which is the Gauteng, at this point in time, Northwest and Northern Cape. We have given these 3 provinces a larger attention during this period. And chair and members would recall that at some point we did indicate that there is an intervention team, or the right intervention teams that are put in place for the better part of Gauteng. It's led by the DDG, Cheney, and Northwest in terms of the constitution as well. We have Mr. Shabana running it. And then we had concerns in as far as Northern Cape simply because of the slow housing opportunities that we are receiving from the province. We do not have a problem with the other provinces, although we can cite that Free State on its own still had a challenge in as far as giving us some housing opportunities because of the lagging of the invoices that they had as approval from the previous financial year, and that has a reciprocation effect on their application forward. I must indicate, Chair, that by the end of this period, which is November, recalling the resolution of MINEC, that we have to prepare a submission and give a final verdict of how Gauteng and Northwest have fared. We have given them an opportunity since our last meeting to pick up on the performance and to pay almost all those invoices that both provinces have indicated that are in the process of being paid. We agreed yesterday that we shall consider only one source, which is our HSS, where we believe, including the BAF, that we believe that all invoices that would have been paid and incorporated in the 2 systems would have summed up the expenditure until the end of November this Friday. On Monday, we should be giving Minister a report on whether to implement the resolution of the MINMAP, whereby we indicated that should they not be improving by the end of November, there's a portion of the money that we would not be giving, a and redirecting it to those provinces normally we do in terms of our division of revenue. Okay. At this point in time, we do not have any provinces that have been earmarked. And as a matter of fact, we dependent on the analysis that we shall be providing the Office of the Minister through the digits in terms of the performance of the two provinces, including the Northern Cape. So we can simply say, Chair, for the six, better part of the six provinces, we would be having a 100% performance. But we do not have, or we cannot guarantee under a very certain situation that the two provinces, which is Northwest and Gauteng, would give us the benefit of the 100% housing opportunity and spending thereof in terms of the amount allocated, which is sitting at 5 billion and 1.9 billion respectively. These are two bigger amounts that if we do not take an action at this point in time, and given the challenges that we shall be having next year in terms of the elections and the changes in the government that could occur, we may find ourselves within this month. So we are securing those funds within the sector. And there are again some opportunities where we could achieve from Mpumalanga, Limpopo, KZN, and some of the centers and Western Cape. So we shall be considering that by the end of this week. Chair, the second quarter performance on the HFDG is sitting at 79,000 housing opportunities. We had a target of 30,000 sites and 49,000 units, and the delivery is at 58,384, which is 73% of what we had planned at 79, just to correct that, 79,000 as a target and 58,384 housing opportunities. We are running short of the site and we are running short all of our units, and if members could look at the bigger part of where we have shortfall, we're still sitting at housing, having a bigger part of 11,000 housing opportunities that still need to be acquired and achieved by the end of the Friday that I'm talking about. So that constitutes a larger part of the 21,000 negative effect on our shortfall. While we have a bigger amount of larger achievements in Limpopo and Eastern Cape as well as in Mpumalanga. And this could be one of those that would probably and be considered should we decide from taking money away from housing and Northwest. And that is dependent on what I'm presenting here and what has been presented here in terms of the financial performance relative to the HSDG as at September 2018. Chair, I'm going to skip some of the other slides and move over to the Urban Settlement Development Branch, whereby it's not different from the HSDG, although it's in its 6 months of operation, but given the fact that in instances we've lost a number of funds back to fiscal by Mangaung at 249 million. So we felt that we should also be considering stopping and reallocating within the metro, because if we were looking at Mangaung at this point in time and still looking at Mangaung at this point in time, the city of Ekurhuleni is sitting at 2.8 and 1.2 of the allocations that we had given them. It's not a good sign, Chair, if you look at the fact that we're actually moving towards the deadline of our December, similarly with your better part of your January. So most of these metros, if we leave them at this end, we will again find ourselves losing a better part of the 500 million in this project. We still had Western Cape, which we took money from last year, having not spent 166, and they would be forfeiting that 166 should Treasury not consider the approval of the rollover. We have confirmation that Mangaung did not get the rollover of 249. So that's a loss to the department and to the USDG in general. I think that we could have given it to Nelson Mandela Home that additional money during that period. We took money from the city of Johannesburg, which we also did the amount of 356, and then that money was spent entirely by the city of Joburg. And we only had 41,700,000 odd that has been approved from the city of Joburg. So we do have a target of Mangaung and a target of Ekurhuleni, watching closely by ourselves with the support that we are providing, with the additional energy that we have given to them, and particularly with the additional investment in terms of the capacity that we have diverged together with the DDG and PTMU to these metros to support them. But the challenge is that we do not act speedily for the payment. We would find ourselves in the same similar situation of using money access and stuff. The amount that we have voted for them is 11.3. We've given them an amount of 2.3, and they only spent 1.6. So the chance that the 10.7 billion that's still sitting there would not be spent by the end of the financial year. So we are weary, and we are team solidly on that one. And I think what made us not to relax on this one, we are looking at the number of departments that we felt that more money has been invested in all those areas and less expenditure is received from that. If one looks at the major part of where we are fitting your housing and human settlements, your roads and stormwater, transport and sanitation, and the better part of this is the issues of the social economies whereby 400 billion is not spent for this period. Too much of the money that is spent within the human settlements development, the large expectation that we expect from this, but we are not getting any benefits rather than tens of the investments that we've made towards those items. We're not doing well as far as the payment of the Title D restoration grant is concerned. We're sitting at 15%. We do know the process of the issues of the Title D, the roadmap west that. There's larger expectation as we had our views in the previous week or so, whereby larger part of the provinces did indicate that most of the money is spendable and invoices are forthcoming in as far as the December and January is concerned. So there's a larger expectation that the strategic distribution grant program will pick up during December and February. So we would be reporting a different figure on this. However, there's a number of strategies that have already been issued relative to what has been transpired last year moving forward in this function. I didn't speak of the emergency grant that is also dependent on the conditions that the metro and the municipalities have to meet. The other one is in the pipeline of being approval, which is for Nelson Mandela Bay Metro for the temporary shelter provision, and we've already transferred money to TOR, which is Western Cape, for relocation and transitional of your TRC to that effect that would have been 8 November. So we've transferred a better part of the money that we have in the process. A larger part of it is dependent on the disaster that is happening and emergency that are happening in the area. Check.
So if I should give over to DG, this is one, and you on the engagement report. So this is just a lifeline of our areas that we have implemented to improve the performance of the department. Thank you,
Chair. We're left
with two slides. Perhaps it's important to go back and look at the performance, the financial performance of the province. And you will have noticed that Province 3 is not doing well. But we took a decision to appoint the professional resource teams. They were only appointed in the second quarter. And they have started working. We have issued a lot of RFP and RFQs to them. So the picture is likely to change because we do have some capacity in-house. We've also appointed program deliver facilitators, and these are people or individuals, former municipal managers, former executive directors, and former DDGs. We will now be assisting us in provinces and in municipalities. We've contracted with them, we briefed them last week. So that picture in program 3 is likely to change. Tomorrow I'm meeting, perhaps we need to turn down the language on the DMV. We're not putting them in the terms per se, but it's important that every subsidy, to note that every subsidy is issued to an individual. So if the beneficiary management part of it is not transacted by DMV, it affects the allocation of houses. The easiest thing to do is to build a house, but building a house needs to be linked to a beneficiary. And if the beneficiary management process is not managed, it affects the entire pipeline. I'm meeting the acting DG tomorrow to analyze this difference. The teams have been meeting. There is a new acting DG, DG Nguyen, who is acting as the accounting officer for DMV. We're meeting tomorrow to sort out this problem, because if you take flare off and you look at your flaring, there are units, there are vacant units that are there, but we can't put people into those units, and which is something that we want to sort out. But you've also noticed that there's increased invasion by military veterans as well in KZN and in other provinces. There's one project which has been invaded by military veterans in Sulusi, the Westgate project. So we want to discuss those things as well, because there are security issues there. All targets affected by the internal sectors have been prioritized, and reassignment of capacity has been done. I think I've already touched on that. The approval and publishing of the revised standardized sector performance indicators. And this is important, and you may be asking why are we bringing this here, because it's an internal issue that we need to do anyway. We're bringing it here because we've been at loggerheads with the EG on the standardization of our targets with provincial targets. In other words, what the EG is saying is that what is in the provincial APP should be exactly the same as in our APP. We spend a lot of time in certain provinces. The most important program for us is probably because that's about the grant management. Other programs are not necessarily related to what we need to account for. But we managed to find each other, and it's now been resolved. We've also signed up on the standard operating procedure. AG, we asked the AG to look at, to assist us to finalize those standard operating procedures, the branch. We've given a directive, I've already talked to this one, we've given a directive to fill all the posts. We find it's been very difficult to fill the positions of contract. I must say, because when we advertise, we get people who are looking for jobs. We're not getting people who qualify for the posts. And human settlements, unlike other departments, is a specialized department. It's a built environment department. And the kind of skill that you attract, it's a skill that which can be classified as a scarce skill, and we compete with a number of other built environment departments. So if you advertise on contract, you're not likely to get quality, and we've proved that over the last 2.5 years. We have not attracted good quality. But there were instances where we received quality. We just didn't fill the positions. We didn't, complete the positions because of some procedural matters. The indicated attention was provided to the Limpopo, Northwest, and Gauteng. TDG chain is already touched on this one. He is responsible for Gauteng. Today, we have to finalize a submission to the minister and advise minister whether we are going to take money away from Gauteng or we are going to keep money in Gauteng. And that decision has to be made today by the administrators. And minister has to make that decision by Friday or Monday next week. It's a resolution from MINEC that we must decide whether we are going to shift funds from poor performing provinces. Northwest is one of those poor performing provinces. And Gauteng is also another poor performing province. I think Limpopo is doing better now. We looked at their figures, both the financial and non-financial figures. Limpopo is looking good. We've looked at the latest figures in Gauteng. Last week when I checked, they were sitting at 51%. will check on HSS. But what was forwarded to me by the province, and we always say if it's not an HSS, it's not done. And that's why the CFO is whispering to me. The report that was given to me yesterday, it says Gauteng is sitting at 51%. Now we have to go and verify that with HSS. Northwest is sitting at, I checked, they're sitting at 46%, and they are projecting to spend 53% by end of the month. Now a projection is a projection, and you can't make a decision on the basis of projection. We have to make a decision on the basis of what has been done. But we've looked at Northwest. I met with all the contractors fortnight ago, that Friday, first week of November. I called all the contractors in Northwest, and we looked at their performance individually. We looked at their performance in the region, and I met with the regional manager in Rustenburg as well, and the HOD. I am still optimistic that they will be able to meet the 50% threshold that we asked them to meet. We're also focusing on aligning. Remember, the third quarter, we start the planning for the next financial year in the second quarter. So the first draft of business plan was submitted to us in September. We looked at aligning the APP, the business plan, the ELE indicators. This is all preparing for the next year, but we started in the second quarter. Then it ended up in the last quarter, the fourth quarter. The AG, I've already touched on that. The verification system on title deeds. Perhaps in the next quarter, we will present for quarter three. We should zoom into the title deeds just to explain what we have done, the professionals that we have appointed. The title deeds that are sitting in the offices of provinces and municipalities that have not been distributed, the number of townships that were township registered has not been opened. We can plot all of that special. We can tell you which townships were affected. We can tell you how many title deeds are locked into those township registers. Remember, if you have not opened the township in 1999, there's nothing you can do to issue a title deed. We have to go back to that process, and that's why we're getting a little bit stuck in some provinces. For instance, in Gauteng, 183 titles or properties are linked to the opening of the township register. And Gauteng's graph is going up despite the fact that Gauteng is not performing, the ground is not performing. If you look at Gauteng, they have delivered more title deeds than any other province right now. The SOP, I've covered it. I've covered the MINMEC resolution assessing the provinces that are not performing, moving the funds from poor performing provinces to high performing provinces. The grants framework review for 2019, that process was led by the CFO and DDG chain. We can present on it in the third quarter because it happened in this quarter, which is the third quarter. First and second quarter sector reviews conducted. I chair the quarterly reviews myself. I start with quarterly reviews of branches, programs, before I do individual performance reviews of DDGs. So we're presenting this to you to be noted, and these are our second quarter results. Thank you very much. There's just one item that I thought it needed to plant, which is the 6.1 million rands of CISOs. The CFO touched on it. You will recall, Chair, that there was a point when CISOs was not in a position to pay salaries. And what the accounting officer did, the accounting officer wrote to National Treasury to ask Shah to borrow us 6.1 million so that CISOs can pay the salaries. The argument with Shah was that that 6.1 million at some point they need to pay it back to Shah. Unfortunately, National Treasury ruled that there is no point, that there is no need to give back that money to SHRA, because SHRA is financially okay. So we must keep the money as CSIS. That's the decision that National Treasury took. I wanted to clarify this point because it has caused a lot of confusion out there, and there are a lot of people who also wrote about the 6.1 million. Saying that the DG and the minister are corrupt. So I just want to clarify that point, because the 6.1 million rand is a decision that I took more than 2 years ago to bail out CISOs because they were not in a position to pay salaries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to the department and the DG for that presentation. Of course, the committee is aware of, if I start with the last half, the committee is aware of that request because it was in the bench to us. And I remember when we were doing the annual performance, I specifically asked the question because I was assuming that there was some money that they couldn't explain if they are I asked if it's the money that the source can corrupt from the department. Company black when being told that they don't have to pay that 6.1 million in the current circumstances that they are in. But that's the report, Honourable Member. One needs to make just a few observations that the report generally is much more improved than the previous report in the sense that at least it goes into detail in explaining certain things. For instance, one is comforted by the fact that when you talk about informal settlement assessment on the delivery support program, you are able to give a number and which informal settlement and where. Because that's always been the question that we've been asking you when you give us these numbers. Where are these informal settlements? And I think we should applaud you for that. Whether you've done it almost on our time out, but at least you've done it. Also on the mining towns, one is comforted by the fact that you've told us where, which one, and in which province. Maybe the important thing for me when the members are asking questions is where you would have to explain to us the fact that SHRA in particular, it's very clear that it's not going to meet its targets. And that's why we have a sense that if the department has had an interaction with SHRA as an entity to find out what is the plan and how are they going to be moving forward. We had raised our concerns when we had a discussion with them, when we had to do the analysis on it. But now, this report of the second quarter is making clear that they are not going to make it happen. So I just wanted to emphasize that. But let me allow members to ask questions of clarity, and then knowing that, and then the officials will come back. Member, if you don't have, you can always say you don't have. Yes, Honorable Nkadime. Honorable Papa, the fact that you came late doesn't mean that you can't ask questions. We are not going to punish you here. We are very understanding in this conversation. Honorable Mala, you're fine. Honorable Papa, Honorable Farai, and Honorable Wana.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and thanks for the elaborate presentation. My question, I'll start with the one of the invasion of military vets houses. That is because of the delays in terms of the occupation. And then did you mention that the problem is because of the sign off. I just want to check what is the challenge on that signing off? Or the issue of the beneficiaries of, if maybe can give clarity on that one. And my second question is on your departmental scholarship program, which is very good. Digi just told us that they can't fill posts because there is a challenge of skills that are so scarce. And I see you are training learners in engineering and building survey, construction studies and architectural technologies, which will come and assist you in having people that you can come and employ in future if they've got the skills. But the number that you just indicated is only 43. I'm just worried. Or maybe it's a plea if you can just add the numbers. And then my question again on top of this one would be, how do you recruit these learners? And because you don't get that, come across learners that are saying we are doing this in human settlement, maybe in some of the provinces, maybe you can just give us that, how do you recruit them? And the last one, the third one, I'm just worried about the issue of the FLIT program. See, some of the people, they don't need RDP houses. That is why you found RDP houses are allocated to people, and then after some few years, you will find those RDP houses being broken, and then big houses have been built. It means we run short of that program that can give people just sense to go and build for themselves houses, of which it is the one that is not doing very well. If maybe you can, I've heard there are some challenges that you come across. If you can just fast track this thing, solving this problem and giving these people a space to just build for themselves, and then it will even alleviate the number of RDP houses that you are building. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's all. Another question.
Thank you, Chair. Ngicinga ukukhawulezile ngathi bekho abantu phakathi balekufaka ukubambile. Oh, Chair, one on FLIP. I see that there are various issues that relate to why this program is not doing well, including poor credit records and stuff. I thought probably there would be something that says how do we intend to remedy the situation. Is there anything in the pipeline that would assist, you know, people in accessing this and also making sure that the program delivers as expected? The second one, Chairperson, is around Gauteng. I want to understand. Gauteng was here a few weeks ago, and I think we were happy with progress being made, but also the turnaround strategy that the MSC promised us when we were here. So how do you take that, taking note or taking into account the fact that money could be withdrawn from Gauteng? I'm saying they came to us, made undertakings, and yet money could be withdrawn from them. How do we balance the two? The last one, Chairperson, is around Mangaung. Probably I didn't see much of these problems coming around Mangaung. Can we just get an insight as to what are the real challenges in Mangaung, and are there any interventions that are in the pipeline to also deal with the issues there? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I have another comment?
thanks for presentation. Got now a few questions. One, Chair, it's my concern that since the beginning of this change, I realized that there are 7 days that are on the process. And as a committee, we just participate in one. And what is the cost of the day?
I'm talking about
the 7 days that has been reported here. We only participated in one, which is on the program to which we put by Parliament. Is there any reason for any delay because of why we couldn't make participating other bills? Two, Chair, the issue of the tablet to me is still a problem. And I think there was a stage where we went for the oversight and checking all the municipalities whether the task team has been established. And what is the development until now on the task team? Are they doing the job? Are they understanding what is their job? Are they doing that job?
That's true.
So that's the one of the military veterans. I'm still sitting here to say, the military veteran now, to have been the number of people, of course, I agree, maybe the other department here and this playing a role. But there was a house in my constituency in Kappa. When we went there as a committee for us, I told them, three houses. I passed there this past Saturday. One house is deliberated. There's no windows between you, there's no doors. The roof is going down. I don't know what is happening. Can you check the municipality what is happening in that house? And that are my questions. What else do you think I could expect?
Thank you, Honorable
Mara. Chair, the number of questions have already been covered by the other colleagues. Safe to say, just the point on the military debt is that given the part that the human settlements must do, I'm of the opinion, given all the reports that you have had in the past quarter from the chain now, that it seems the human settlement department is there, it's ready, houses are there. It's for that reason that they can be invaded because they are available. But I think we must put pressure on the department that is with military debts, because I think that there's a problem from them in as far as the beneficiaries are concerned. Or they cannot manage their part. An example is in Swami and also in the Northwest, where the beneficiaries want something else, not what is provided. Others request that they had a meeting with the former President Mandela, who promised them President. The military vet said they had a meeting with him. No, they had a meeting and they want not what we are providing now. But I think it's not the figures and the rate will come from, it comes from the human settlement, whereas it is not really entirely the human settlement thing altogether. So pressure must be there. Then there's the question of the title deeds. And two parts of the title deeds. There are title deeds that are sitting in lying in the offices, and which, if given out, would change the figures that we are dealing with. So there needs to be pressure at the provinces, because it cuts across the provinces, and as well as municipalities. Our interaction with our constituencies show that there are those titles. But the titles that are still to be done at the deeds office and the projection that is submitted today, there is going to be a challenge, and I don't know if there's a plan from the human, from the department. If you say by January this would be done, the deeds office is closing anytime now, and between December and January there won't be much happening or anything happening at all, which might create another problem in as far as the targets are concerned, and I want to find out if there's any fast track plan that might be done. And lastly, Chair, are all the provinces, from what is stated, are not doing well in as far as face is concerned. It's hard to believe that it is also a credit thing around whether people have bad credit records, because the demand is there, but the departments or government departments are shying away from presenting, advertising that part of this type of business. And I think there should be a strategy to get them involved in advertising, in making sure that that happens. Otherwise, the figures won't change. But I'm saying that it's not a question of credit only. Much needs to be done to encourage them to advertise, to make it popular as well. Yes.
Thank you very much, Member. I think before I hand over to the officials, there are certain areas that I really want to have an understanding. And maybe keep your understanding. One, on the issue of the military pressure. Now, we know now that the Department of Human Settlement is managing this area with DMV. And sitting here, I'm trying to think that when you put together in MCFM the beginning of the term, and you said you want to deliver 5,000 units to the military veterans, was that number discussed with the DMV? Or was that number sucked out? Because we're sitting here now, we're not going to meet this target. Because it's not us that are supposed to deal with this alone. And yet we have put ourselves to say we can deliver 5,000 units in 5 years. I'm raising the question because right now we're going to start a process of doing another 5-year program. And I think we must not make the mistake of doing what we have done. Because it is going to be one of the four areas here that human settlement has not delivered on military veterans. And yet we are sitting here, we are being told that there are houses that are sitting empty, that are being vandalized. Were we wise enough to put this number, 5,000? Because we have not even delivered half this number, to be honest, in this 5-year term. But I just wanted to have that sense. How do we plan our target? And how do we come back there? Or how do we get to a certain number? And I think for me that's just an interest that it is something that at the end of the day, departments are going to be seen as if they are failing. And it's important to understand how do we do our own target. The second part, I think, honorable that men covered me, but covered me halfway on the issue of the vacancy rate vis-a-vis the youth programs, vis-a-vis the scholarship. My own understanding is that the department does a needs analysis, and they would then decide that in these particular areas we need these skills, and then they would then assist students on those particular skills, because at the end of the day, those skills would assist the department. But you see, you have 43 students that you have, and you are assisting. But on top of that, I don't know if this 43 includes the 9 that have qualified at the Nelson Mandela University on the women's settlement decree that we started ourselves. And that first cohort graduated this year. And they are all sitting at home. All. Fortunately, Honorable President, I have met some of them. They are all sitting at home with no absorption from the department, with no relationship, with no intention. Yet they all started with the money. Now, it is important to understand then how do we plan for these scholarships. We plan them so that we assist the department, and then the students, because those students were 14 when they started in 2014, 9 have since graduated, and all 9 of them, the department has not absorbed. So it's important to help this thing, because it speaks then to the youth programs that the department does vis-a-vis this is your scholarship. How do we manage this? And I think for me it's important that we have that clarity so that we plan them in the future. In the report, there is about 2 projects from Gauteng that could not have been verified when we were verifying projects that are being done by HSDG and by UNFDG. And I wanted to have a sense then what has happened since then. Is there a sense of making sure that those 3 have been verified today or on the program that you, because the report has said 3 couldn't be verified. But that's what I to understand. DPG, CFO in particular, on the performance of the project, which refugees deliver. You have Mpumalanga, who at least has overspent by minus 8%, and but the delivery is 1.5%. But you have Western Cape, who has also overspent by minus 8%, same as Mpumalanga, but the delivery is 59%. Now, they spend the money, they finish the money, but the delivery is not even at 60%. How do you make sure that you then get to these provinces and interact with them and want to understand what are the challenges? What could have been the problem? The gap is too much between these 2 provinces from where I'm sitting. So I just wanted to have a sense. And because this will have an impact in terms of provinces that you would want to give them excess funding when you decide that which provinces must have the money that are not going to be spent by the other. And I thought for me that one is too much. We have had the same problem before where 3 states would spend the entire fund and but the delivery would be very poor. So we need to have that kind of thing. And for me, how then does the department interact with provinces in that area? You have an unspent fund of 10.7 billion and with the UNFDG, you say. And you already say you want to start now so that you don't sit with the same problem where you're going to lose this money to the fiscal in terms of making sure that the money stays within the system. I wasn't sure if I heard you, what exactly have you done now in terms of exactly that. It's a good point, but I didn't actually hear exactly what then you have done from that time that you identified it up to. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. What we will do, I'll ask the DDGs to pick up some of the questions. DDG Chin will start with the question on military reserves, and you will pick some of the questions as well. And then I will ask the CFO to respond. DDG corporate services. And also assist us with the question on trade. I will come in there as well, Chair, because I think there is no reason why we cannot absorb those 9 students. We have 8 entities and we have 9 provinces. We have 8 metropolitan municipalities. There is no reason why we can't absorb those young graduates. But let's start with the DG Chain first.
Thank you, Chair. On the Ministry of Entrance, Chair, you will remember that what we did was that prior to the figure that we had announced was, I mean, I think initially Minister Sisulu had raised the issue around 5,000, and that was on the basis of what was on the list that had been discussed and provided to the department. Once that list was then verified and taken through a whole range of processes, that list was then reduced, I think it was 4,000 odd, I think a correct figure. No, Chair, it was not a thumbs up figure. It was on the basis of a figure that had been agreed upon on the basis of the military veterans that were identified by the Department of Military Veterans. So that figure that is there is on that basis. I think I can give you the exact figure, but it's around 4,000. It was agreed at a consultative session with them, with the MP. So it was not a thumbs up, it was on the basis. The point about it, Chair, is that you must remember that there are non-statutory and statutory members who have been provided with housing opportunities. But the problem was that, for example, if you take the Western Cape, there was a substantial amount of statutory members that were provided with Ministry Veterans of housing opportunities. And the question that, and I think the point that we had raised was that your non-statutory military veterans, there was a lapse and there was a disregard, disregard in inverted commas, of them being prioritized. Hence, the figure that of 4,000 was all non-statutory. And the commitment we had made and which we're still making is that they must all be provided non-statutory. We must make sure that those members and their households must be prioritized. Now the issue is that what happens is that the sign-off is that, you know, for want of a better way, the DG for military vets gives us a list, or ideally would give us a list that says, here's the 10 military vets you can allocate them. And that's how we operate. So where the delay has been is been basically receiving the names that have been signed off from that list and verified, because as members would know and Chair would know that there are a number of different there's a number of different constituencies and formations that have come to the fore, and Chair. So I hope that clarifies that. The second part of that, Chair, is I think Member Mkhanyi, the issue around the question of the invasions. We have given commitment, and the provinces have given commitment. That, so, for example, if you take Gauteng, in the case of I think it's Lutheran, there's 18 houses that we've identified that must be built, and it's built within the spec of what we've agreed. Now the issue around the question of that is that there's been, in many respects, some of these houses have been invaded as a result of formation disputes and all those kind of things. And that's something that we said we've got to be able to take, and we've enlisted the provincial MECs to resolve that, the premiers, those kind of things. That's where that issue is, because we don't want to, we can't make a determination, Chair. I mean, I think, it's not that the DG makes a determination that Neville Cheney is a military vet, therefore he will be allocated. That is something that is done legally by DNB. So that's where that is. Chair, the second point around the question of Shah is that you'll note that the CEO, when he presented, indicated and gave a commitment. And that is the commitment that we are measuring the Shra against. That is 27,000 social housing units under construction or constructed. And the reason that that entire construction or it's been determined that way is because, remember, Shra, and we must commit, we must commend them the fact that the graph has increased. The question is that it's just increased at a very slow pace, and I suppose politically it makes so no sense that we're now ramping up when well, it's probably a good thing that we're ramping up and we can sustain that. So that's where that is at the moment. So Chair, I can confirm that just having followed up on a couple of things, and as we said, there's a rental task team that sits. I can confirm that the SHRA have undertaken and they've employed the relevant people that they said they would, particularly those portfolio members. And I know that there's that you know, for want of a better phrase, they're not taking very many prisoners in getting to that target. So that's very good. Chair, in relation to the question of the rapid land release program, and that's the issue. I mean, I think we can't. I've asked them because I've been allocated the counting province. I've asked them to determine whether or not, since the Premier's announcement in and around, I think it was April, and now, whether or not there's been a drop in the number of protests and community invasions around that.
And I do know that that was a question one of the matters.
Yes, I.
So he is listening. We have an accent.
Yes. So the point about Chair is that our just on analysis of media reports and those kind of, and that's not a very good. But the issue is the empirical data is what would be able to say to us. And our view is, our perception is, my personal perception is, it has. If you look at what is happening in Ekurhuleni, because I can speak for parts of Gauteng, the Honourable Malatsi will agree in relation to the city of Joburg. In the south, there has been and this is where we said we must separate it. We must separate community protests from illegal land occupation, because the one does not equal the other. A community protest does not equal the fact that, you know, it's a threat of an illegal invasion, but it hasn't. So, for example, in many respects, it has stabilized that area. The point that we've raised with the province together with the HCA is that the politicians cannot keep making these promises, and we are not making good on that commitment. Now, if you look at what happened in Ekurhuleni, over the last, the launch of the program...
When you say politician, you mean us. And I wanted to clarify.
Yes, Chair. I think the point about it is, we come to you, we say to you something, you take our word for it, you go there, and then it doesn't materialize. So we do not want to embarrass our political principle. The point being, Chair, is that if you look at what has happened in Ekurhuleni, and it's a good example, and Chair, maybe if you have time for a site visit before this term of office, maybe you want to go. We can arrange it for you to visit the service sites that have been undertaken by Ekurhuleni in the Palm Ridge Magabula area. It represents a good practice. And in relation to Member Bomrat, we have said it is something we must encourage. It is allowable, and as the DG says, there's no such thing as rapid land release. It's there. It's within the Free State province. It's within KZN. It's within Northwest to prioritize the servicing of sand. And we know, Chair, that in the case of Ekurhuleni, it's created a huge amount of positive hype. Now, I think the one issue that we're battling with is the administrative inefficiency, because people are saying, okay, here's these stands. I mean, in Ekurhuleni, there's
Thank you very much, Chair. I think let me start with your question. And I think I skipped a slide where I thought I was rushing time. Little did I know that I'm depriving you of the information. Through the DGPG, if I may ask you to press down to the performance down, that's it. So if you look at this slide, what we often report is the issue of size and housing, or rather the units in terms of housing opportunities. And then we rush on this slide. If you look at this slide, and particularly the Western Cape that the Chair is talking about, we're giving it a work in progress that says to the Chair and Honourable Members that 1,319 outputs are sitting at foundations. So they are not counted. They're still at the lower level of your development. Similarly, some of the houses are still at work place. However, there is money spent against those targets and milestones. Then when you look at the last one, which is the roofing, which is where we expect units and your FURs to be issued, it's sitting at 1,880 houses, so to say. And there's 178 million on that already consumed. Now, we have not counted those houses as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So they are sitting within that milestone space. Hence, the expenditure is more, and you until that time, the final place and your roofing has been ended, then you would have a house and then counted. So this is where the challenge is. And my apologies for skipping this slide, Chair. And then when you go to But I think I must indicate that we want to benchmark against Mpumalanga because for the past 4 years consecutively they've been doing very well both on and rather consistent on your size and service, and they do have a good work in progress as well. And when we were presenting this slide at Mimic early this year, we did indicate, particularly to housing, that we are expecting largely from them during the first quarter to would achieve more because they had number of roofing or number of milestones that are sitting under roof. And to our surprise, during April and December when we were here to report, we couldn't get the sense of where those targets are, where, and why the money had gone to those. So this is what the challenge is that we thought maybe while we are presenting the site and houses completed, there is an element of the working progress that is on the ground that is not completed yet. So sure, that's the verification. On the issue of Mangaung, there are a number of challenges, Chair, but I want to cite from the administrative part, because if you look at the rollover that we have lost, which is 249 million for the metro, which made us to take a decision, Chair, is that during the course of May and June, when the funds, or rather the expenditure had to be expended and final expenditure reported to the department, the system of Mangaung crashed. And they reported that as such. And I think I remember the last review, which was their review, which is the second review, rather the third review, and us being the quarter. They did indicate that they have a problem that they cannot process any invoices. They are not in a position to then capture anything in the system because it had collapsed. And we gave them space and we gave them time up until August, whereby they would close their books. And that space couldn't work because they couldn't. I think there was some heaviness in the system, so we don't know what transpired. However, as we came back during this quarter reviews that we had, the same HOD who presented the same challenge gave us to say they could not even submit their annual financial statement this financial year, simply because of those challenges. And as a result, because when we commit with National Treasury, one of the things that is primary and important is the fact that there should be a stability of leadership. And one of the main characters within that leadership is the CFO. And unfortunately, the CFO of Mangaung resigned during the process. So they don't have the CFO. They are operating on an acting capacity within that. So they couldn't submit the AFF. They couldn't get the rollover. It
because they couldn't commit, they couldn't prove beyond reasonable doubt that the money that even Treasury could appropriate a rollover would be expended to some of the projects. So there are maladministrations. However, we are giving them attention as well. It's also under my supervision together with the Free State. And as such, we went to say, while we are supporting them, we run the risk of losing the money back to FISA. Hence, I indicated that we needed to also be smart with the metro, because we know to run towards the end of the financial year, money gets to be transferred in instances where you wouldn't know and the weather will not be any service. So we wanted to use this specifically for where we would get numbers and housing opportunities. Thank you, Chair.
I've been asked to give a response to the issue of training, but instead I want to first of all respond on the issue of the 7 bills and why we only did one. At the beginning of this legislative program, we indeed had the 7 bills, but what happened is that the presidency did write to all the departments to say that we need to trim down on our bills because of the very tight program of this year. So we evaluated the point of readiness of each of the bills, and we were most ready with the property practitioner bill, and hence we persuaded with that one. But we could provide an input on the each stage of the remaining 6 bills, where we are, so that the next term when we come back to the portfolio committee, we could embark on some of the revision of the other bills. The issue of this training, I'm going to ask the COO to respond to it because it is a responsibility in her area of management.
Thank you, Chairperson. The point made by the control committee, firstly, I would take it as a proposal for us to enhance the program. There are 2 areas that we need to improve on. Firstly, it's at the planning stage, where we need to do the skills audit so that by the time we recruit the students, we know which area we are targeting. So that is the process that we have included in this planning process. And secondly, we need to improve with our engagement with the provincial departments of human settlements. For example, we need to be clear in terms of the roles and responsibilities of each party. And also what happens when the students graduate, so that we address the issue of the students that have already graduated and now they are not absorbed anyway. It's a process that we are working on. Chair,
Sure. Thank you.
Chair,
the two, I think 3 other questions that were not attended to. The first one is on fees. Honourable Baca, you seem to say that we're doing well in identifying the problem, but we're not doing well in solving the problem. We've amended FLIST program twice, the policy twice. And you recall that we started with this program when it was, the application was about, was it 9,000 or 12,000? We increased it to 15,000, the income threshold. We then took a decision to increase it again, the upper threshold, in the last minute. Now the upper threshold for FLISP is now 22,000. But it's not just about the threshold. If you look at FLISP as a program, in fact, we were advised by some of our colleagues that we need to refer to it as the Help Me Buy a House grant, you know, so that people understand what it's about. You are helping beneficiaries between 3.5 and 22,000 to buy a house. So we look at it as a liberating grant because it hasn't been sort of full subsidy, it's a partial subsidy. It's also a demand-side subsidy. In other words, there is a demand and an ability to meet. We think that what we've done, under especially the CFO and DDG chain and DDG policy, who could not be with us today because he's on specifically DDG Boulder. What we've done, we looked at the entire value chain of FISP, and we realized that there are blockages in the system. The banks are frustrated by the turnaround time in provinces. The banks are frustrated by the level of indebtedness amongst the beneficiaries. And then we said, let's look at the entire process, the entire value chain, and maybe where we start with the FISP training ourselves. That's the starting point. That's what this new program will do. Two, we need to split this program into two programs. The first part of the program will be managed by the new Human Settlements Development Bank, the NHFC now, because the bank will be promulgated in the next financial year or in the next term of government. So they trigger everything, and they said to us, for us to achieve the numbers that we want to achieve, we will have to manage the entire value chain. So the two parts to FLISP, which is what we have changed, and we hope that this summer round is going to perform, because we've made changes. The first part is about allowing provinces to use FLISP to provide set aside, for instance. Someone can walk into any province, someone will the house, and then it will be processed by the provincial agency. But we're also using the NHFC and New Human Settlements Bank to target anyone in the country. Someone can walk into NHFC and apply for a FLISP grant and then go to the bank. And sequencing things that way would mean that the credit worthiness of that individual is enhanced. You don't start at the bank and then you get turned down. You start with us. We do the pre-screening and the pre-approval, and then you go to the bank. And that's another way of dealing with indebtedness, you know, because we're dealing with a group of people who are highly indebted. And unfortunately, if you look at the behavior of the credit market in that category, you'll find that some people would prefer to buy a car instead of buying a house. Somebody would prefer to buy a furniture instead of saving for a house. And some people would prefer to subscribe with DSTV. Satellite is done to save that money from the house. So the behavior of the credit market in this particular income group is also not working in our favor. But we've started processes where we would want to provide what we call transaction support in townships and where we run consumer education as well. Hopefully this will pay dividends because we've changed now the instruments. The argument is concerned the point that we came here to present and now we want to take money away from them. No, we're not. We haven't made that decision. We looked at the figures. We think that they will be able to spend the money this year. They're sitting at they told me coming to this meeting today, they sent me a report which still has to be verified by the CFO and the DDG programs and projects, because everything has to be an agency. They told me that they're sitting at 51%. And if they're sitting at 51%, there is no need to take money away from them. I think we are of the view, and I've verified this, considering their absorptive capacity. They can spend that money. The biggest problem is in the bank office, and which is why we recommend the DDG chain to assist the bank office. The premier met with the contractors together with the MEC and the developers. And they all said, look, we're ready, we are on site, we're occupying site, but it takes some time for us to be paid, it takes some time for us to, you know, to begin an instruction to perform work. So there are a lot of back office glitches that we need to deal with in Kaltim. But all your top 15 developers in the country are in Kaltim. All your big engineering companies are in Kaltim. So which tells you that there is no problem in the sector. The problem is in the back office with the bureaucrats there. So I think we need to fix that problem, and that's why the DDG chain is spending more time assisting the HOD there. I think a lot of other questions were answered. Chair, I just want to make this commitment here that I will make this my priority. to deal with the absorption of those graduates who have been funded by the department. I think there is absolutely no reason why they cannot be absorbed by all entities. There is no reason why they cannot be absorbed by provinces. They cannot be absorbed by us. We just hired 13 program delivery facilitators to help us in implementation of title deeds. There's occupancy surveys that have to be done there. There is planning work that needs to be done there. There is absolutely no reason why we shouldn't get that capacity into the department. I want to make this my priority. I know that our youth program has taken a little bit longer to get off the ground. I think there were quite a number of teachers in that component. So I want to commit here that we will get this particular program properly started. In my previous life, we ran a very successful program together with DBSE. We know how to run young professional graduate program and run successfully with some of the companies that are contracted to us. Because when we hire some of the companies, we can twin them, we can partner them with some of the non-graduates who are coming out of university. And most of them, as you can see, the young engineers, the young town planners, and this is the kind of work that we do in human settlements. I want to commit that maybe when we come back in the next quarter, this will be done.
No, we can't wait for the next quarter, because the next quarter might not happen. The next quarter might not happen, honorable member. We know that the third quarter report might be presented to the new members of parliament, not to us. We might not have the time. So we want you to commit not using the third quarter.
Okay. Chair, I want to make that commitment and we'll get that program off the ground.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I think the last part has actually made my day in the sense that we can even give you the list of those students from the University of Nelson Mandela University. Some of them are working as consular agents. It cannot happen. So we really begging you to do something. Thank you very much, officials. I'm raising the fact that headquarters might not do, because I remember very well, when I came in as the chairperson of human settlement, one of my first agenda was to deal with the headquarters of the prison. So that's why I think that it might not be presented. But if it happens, we will be happy. But thank you very much with this report, with this second quarter report, and the fact that there is improvement. And the fact that, you know, the things that we raise sometimes in an exchange with yourself, you can see them presented in the report in terms of implementing them. We really want to appreciate that. So I know that therefore other of the members agree on this certain quarter report. Thank you very much. We are looking at the time. We do have a meeting next week, honorable member. But I'm hoping that it won't be long. We will be dealing with the department will be coming to respond to the high level reports to us, so that we are able to close that one off and be in the legacy report. And we will also be adopting the Singapore statutory report. That should be about it, which will be our last meeting. If there is any other thing, we might have a meeting on Wednesday, but a very short meeting on Wednesday, just to make sure that we don't have any outstanding issues, because next week is the last week. Parliament is arrived. So next week is the last week that officials will be called to Parliament. You can look forward to coming next week, because it will be your last time. Until next year. there's a very big possibility that next year we might not have any portfolio committee. Because politicians, as Judicial Chair, will be on the ground giving promises to people. So at this point in time, as the program stands, we might come in to deal with the State of the Nation address and the debate, and then come in again to deal with the budget and the debate, and off we go. So we might not even have a portfolio committee, not unless there's something urgent that we might have to deal with. That's why I was saying the headquarters report might not give us the presentation. So thank you very much for this. This might be our last performance report from the department, and thank you. We might not see you. And the bill is available. It has been debated next week on the 4th. It is on the agenda. So in all the 7 bills on our profile, there's one that we have concluded. Even though the 6-7, but at least the one has it has come to the two. But remember as well that in the workshop in Hermana, we agreed that we must not start things that are not going to conclude. So we have said ourselves that let's deal with one, because otherwise we're going to start something and we're not going to finish. Thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you. That's 10. Yeah.